In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Today is the feast of the solemnity of the Annunciation, a day which we commemorate our Lord, or God, revealing to Mary his plan for her life. And it's the day really that changes human history in a major way, because today, the liturgical commemoration, we consider that, or we live the reality through the scripture, a turning point in human history when God became man. When God enters our world, he bridges the infinite distance between the creator and the creature. And it is an act of almighty power. As Jesus is conceived by Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the beginning of the history of redemption in this world with God's direct intervention. And one of the things that we can think about is, pray about, is the fact that Jesus, God, is totally invested in bringing us to heaven. Our Lord's taking on our human nature, living a life like ours, and allowing himself to be crucified, looking forward to, if we can put it that way, going to the cross to work our redemption, to offer that sacrifice to God the Father so we may go to heaven and so that we may become children of God. The mystery of the cross, which is where we're heading in this time of Lent. And this gives us a great hope, because God is determined. He is going to make, it happen from his point of view. But it's interesting that in this divine plan, you know, the change of the cosmos when God takes on our human nature, is that he wanted, and somehow God needed Mary's response, her free cooperation. He prepared her, there's no doubt about it. It was foretold in the Old Testament. Today's first reading, in the three readings at Mass, there is a prophet Isaiah. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as the netherworld or as high as the sky." And Ahaz begs off, "I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord." And then Isaiah says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin will be with child and bear a son. And you will name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. This is the prediction of our Lord's coming as man. But in order to make this happen, and to bring about this incredible divine plan of our salvation, God depended upon the free response of a human being. Granted, Our Lady, well prepared to be the mother of God, but it's through this human freedom that the divine enters the world. And this is an amazing thing, that God's plan would, to a certain degree, to a very large degree, depend upon Our Lady's response. As St. Luke tells us, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. He said to her, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And Our Lady was troubled at the greeting. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Our Lady is given her sensitivity to the things of God, her spotless soul, no stain of sin, the graces that she has been receiving, her knowledge of the history of her people, the Jewish people, the waiting for the Messiah. She certainly understands that this, I mean, the dramatic greeting of Gabriel, the coming of an angel. And she certainly has some sense of God's plan is being fulfilled in this way, that the what they had been waiting for 2,000 years, the preparation of the coming of the Messiah. So she has a certain inkling, obviously, of the import, the enormity of what is taking place. And so when she hears this, her response is, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man? I don't have a husband." It's in the Latin, como fiat istud. How will this be? How can this be made to happen? And after she receives the explanation from Gabriel, which also gives us more information about who this child will be, the angel said in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, who has conceived in her old age, and this is in the a sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God." It's going to be through the direct intervention of God, and that which you will conceive will be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he will be called the Son of God. And the picture is clearer to Our Lady. And immediately her response is, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word." She realizes it's important, obviously, and she's ready to put her whole self into it. And that God's plan of salvation would depend upon that free response is quite striking. And Our Lady probably grew in her knowledge, but she would also understand the consequences of her saying yes, of her decision. And she knew Our Lord would give her the grace to do so. It's a dramatic moment. It's a turning point in history. And Our Lady's response is necessary to make the whole plan go ahead. But it doesn't stop there. This is just the beginning of the story. Crucial, important, but there is a lot more to come. And this is what I would offer us to consider. That Our Lady, although this is, again, the Annunciation of Solemnity, to think about what is happening, to think about the import of it, think of what it means for our lives, all of us, that God becomes man, he dies on the cross as we're getting prepared for that. But Our Lady's response was the yes, the fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum, was something that God wanted and asked of her. And this is a large part of our life. As Our Lady's response was necessary to bring about salvation, to bring our Lord into the world, we look at her life and we realize that each day, each moment, she had to keep saying yes in each circumstance. That her life was a continual yes to God to make sure that our Lord was continued thriving, growing, and could fulfill his mission. And then she continued that right up to the, she said yes at the beginning at the Annunciation, and she said yes when our Lord was on the cross, and throughout her life in between. And this is what I offer is a consideration that, you know, am I trying to bring our Lord into the world? Am I trying to bring the fruits of our Lord's redemption into my life and into the world because I say, I'm willing to say yes to God. I'm willing to say yes, that I'm along with you, Lord, in this process of redemption. This is what Lent is about. It's about following our Lord closely, especially along the path of the cross. But what we'd like to happen, a good Lent, would be this conversion of heart, that my heart is more centered on God, more centered on, more attentive to what he wants, being willing to say yes more quickly to the little things of each day. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, in his book on the Jesus of Nazareth, the first volume, Infancy Narratives, he has this consideration about the Annunciation, which I think is interesting and quite revealing. I consider it important to focus also, he writes, on the final sentence of Luke's Annunciation narrative. The angel departed from her. So Gabriel delivers the message, tells Mary what the plan is for salvation, that she has a part in it. She immediately responds, wholeheartedly, yes, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me as you want. And then the angel leaves. So the drama of the moment is over. And the cosmos has changed. God has become incarnate, made flesh. Jesus has come into the world as just conceived. This is, reality is different now. But what Pope Emeritus Benedict points out, saying, the great hour of Mary's encounter with God's messenger, in which her whole life is changed, comes to an end. And she remains there alone with the task that truly surpasses all human capacity. There are no angels standing round her. She must continue along the path that leads through many dark moments, from Joseph's dismay at her pregnancy to the moment when Jesus is said to be out of his mind, right up to the night of the cross. What the Pope points out is that now life begins in a very normal way. And as she was betrothed to Joseph, poor Joseph doesn't know why she's with child, obviously with child, so he's going through a bit of a quandary. He's wondering what to do, and surely Mary is suffering with that. She sees her child grow up in a simple life, normal life in Nazareth, those years, many years. Our Lord beginning his public life, and she sees that he's rejected by the scribes and the Pharisees. Some of her relatives, our Lord's relatives, want to say, look, he's out of his mind. They ask him to kind of pull back a little bit. He's making too many enemies, our Lord. And she accompanies on the cross. There is a dramatic moment. How often in these situations must Mary have returned inwardly to the hour when God's angel had spoken to her, considering afresh the greeting, rejoice full of grace, and the consoling words, do not be afraid. The angel departs. Her mission remains, and with it matures her inner closeness to God, a closeness that in her heart she is able to see and to touch. Our Lord counts on all of us to play our part in the work of redemption, beginning with ourselves. And we can ask, I ask myself, do I have the perspective of our Lady? Of I am here, I'm a child of God. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. I'm here for what you want, Lord. Do as you want with me. and I put my will into it. What is it? And I would say that what our Lord wants from us is that we, the day in and day out realities of life, that we bring him there, that we make him present, and that we use our freedom, our saying yes to him, to make it a reality. As Our Lady, again, the dramatic moment of the Annunciation, but then a life, many, many years, very normal. But she had to continue, she did continue to say yes to our Lord. She continued to say yes in all the different circumstances, some of them more dramatic, going to Egypt, being refugees, as Pope Francis says, in a foreign land, probably living in Egypt among a Jewish enclave, coming back, living in Nazareth, a very normal life. Years spent preparing meals for Joseph and Jesus, taking care of the household chores, talking to the women in town. And all of that, she's saying yes to God. Am I willing to say yes to our Lord in my life? Consider, St. Jose Maria says in a homily in, published in Friends of God, consider the sublime moment when the Archangel Gabriel announces to the Virgin Mary the plans of the Most High. Our mother listens and asks a question to understand better what the Lord is asking her. Then she gives her firm reply, Fiat. Be it done to me according to your word. This is the fruit of the best freedom of all, the freedom of deciding in favor of God. I would like to get into the habit of deciding in the favor of God in my life. I would like to be in the habit, with your help, Mary, to say that I choose what God wants. I want to see how that, I want to be attentive enough to see how does that play out in my day-to-day reality? Because our Lord continues trying to break into the world. Better said, he's continued trying to break into the hearts and minds of men and women all the time. And there are special graces during this time of Lent that would happen. That's why I ask for this conversion and the freedom, that I'd use my freedom in deciding in favor of God. As Jesus, as God, chose with his infinite freedom to decide in the favor of mankind. That's why he comes. And that's why this huge miracle takes place. He decides in the freedom, he uses the freedom to decide in the favor of mankind going to the cross. It's this content of divine freedom. He asks us to do the same. We would give back. He would draw out this love. And in our life, you know, there's no angel. Our Lady, after the initial, probably we don't know, but very few, if ever, again, angels doing things for them. There was no kind of special help. But it's a life of saying yes to God, of redemption. What she did is what we have to do. There's a book by Carol Hauslander called The Read of God. And in it she says Our Lady is the saint that we can most imitate, because all the canonized saints, they had special vocations, at least according to her, and special gifts for their fulfillment. Talks about Saint Catherine, Saint Paul, Saint Joan of Arc. Each saint had a special work, their work. But Our Lady had to include in her vocation, in her life's work, the essential thing that was to be hidden in every other vocation, in every life. The one thing that she did and does is the one thing that we all have to do, to bear Christ into the world. To give Christ an opportunity to come to many souls. To Christ to be formed in all those around us, in our soul first. That we would make that happen. Just as our Lord, in a very special way, was in Our Lady's life, but in the same way that we bear him, we bring him to where we are. And this is in the ordinary. that we are helping to bring about redemption when we say yes to God in the ordinary circumstances. And considering this scene, the Annunciation, Fernando Ocardis, the prelate of Monsignor Ocardis, the prelate of Opus Dei, he has these considerations, which I think also can be very helpful. Says that Mary's yes to the angel in her home in Nazareth opens the doors to the incarnation and redemption. Her consent changes the course of history. As we don't lack God's grace, we too can say yes to the calls our Lord makes to us throughout the day, even though it will normally be in things of very slight importance. We may not recognize something as a call from God immediately, but it comes in the form of, as he says, a request for help. Somebody needs a favor, a change of plans. The intimation of the Holy Spirit saying, we could be more generous in this or that situation, or perhaps look after this person, or be more assiduous in carrying out this task that we should carry out. This is to bring our Lord into the world. This is to say yes to our Lord, especially in those things that would be demands of charity, a change of plan in order to help somebody, to exercise a greater kindness and patience and understanding in a particular situation that we find difficult. This is to bear our Lord into that situation. This is to help to bring salvation. We can ask Our Lady, give me this sensitivity of soul, because I want to be able to say, Lord, as you want in my life, that I don't look for great and heroic things, that I help to bring about redemption. I help to continue this plan that is unbelievable of God coming into the world, redeeming us, and making himself present to others by carrying out that, well, what seems to be an insignificant job in the office, being kind to the people around me, being understanding and patient, being gentle and patient and kind with my spouse, with your spouse. All of these, this is to bring more of the Spirit of our Lord. This is to bring the love and kindness, increase our patience, understanding with others. This is to say fiat. This is our fiat to Our Lady, to our Lord. And this is something that requires a constant renewal, it's a way of looking at our life and our day. You know, at the end of the day, it's sometimes we make this examination of conscience, and it would be great if we could say, Lord, I did say yes to you in these particular instances. I do remember saying that. I remember being saying that it took a little bit. I had to take a breath, or I find myself challenged, but I did say yes. If this is what you want, I can see you calling me in this direction. At least it seems to me, and I'd like to impress upon us that just as Our Lady's yes was pivotal in making the drama of redemption a reality and bringing to completion what the Jewish people have been waiting for 2,000 years, that our yes, even in simple things, our this sensitivity towards the graces of God working in our soul in those moments, and again, the very small things normal, but it's also pivotal in helping to bring about redemption, which God is so invested in, that he sent his only son. And that he asks us, follow me, take up your cross. Often it will be in these kind of normal everyday things. It is the drama of redemption. It is, I think, a beautiful way to live. Does it put a responsibility on us? Absolutely. But it's a beautiful responsibility. And if we respond with a yes to God, if we make that effort, realizing sometimes we fail, sometimes we say no to him, sometimes we don't act as a son of God or as a Christian in a particular situation, we can always start again. But don't give up the having the enthusiasm of wanting to say yes, to be an instrument of redemption, to have, a whole new view of the world and the way we engage. I have a part to play. You have a part to play. that nobody else can substitute. There will be people that you come in contact with, friends, family members, colleagues, that you will play that pivotal part in one way or another. As our Lord relied on Our Lady, He relied on the apostles to say yes to Him, to continue the work of redemption. He relies on us. So the Annunciation is a great day for hope, a great day for remembering what God has done, how much He's invested in it. But it's also a day that I think says, but you're part of the project, you know. I'm looking for your yes as well, just like Mary's. I'm asking you to be of the same mind with me. So we ask Mary, intercede for us. Help me to try to be as generous as you were. Help me to try to say fiat, yes, for whatever God wants, in bringing His Spirit, His life, His teaching, making it alive in the daily events of my life. As many of you may know today, and maybe you followed the very beautiful consecration that Pope Francis made to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, asking for peace in the world. We can renew that, if you will, that desire, those prayers, offer them to Our Lady, the consecration that the Pope made. Now as we'll have solemn exposition, since this is a great feast of Our Lady, a solemnity of the Church. And perhaps we can call to mind this part of the consecration that the Holy Father made along the lines of our resolutions to say fiat. He said, the fiat that arose from your heart opened the doors of history to the Prince of Peace. We trust that through your heart, peace will dawn once more. To you we consecrate the future of the whole human family, the needs and expectations of every people, anxieties and hopes of the world. And we also consecrate ourselves, Mary, to trying to bring peace wherever we are, as we do, united with the Holy Father, pray for peace in the world. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.